Merry Christmas from Unity Presbyterian Church. Tune in as Pastor David brings you good news of great joy to all people. Let's listen.
Well, gather around, everybody. It is time for a story. I mean, when's the last time that someone read you a story? It's probably been far too long. We don't do that nearly enough. So I'm going to break that tonight and actually read to you a story that I find a lot of meaning in during this time of year. It's a story that you're most likely familiar with. I'll read you an excerpt of The Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. It was a few years ago that I was watching a Muppets Christmas Carol with my daughters, Zoe and Riley, and I realized, okay, there's so many iconic figures. I mean, there's Scrooge, there's Tiny Tim, there's Bob Cratchit, but I realized I'd never actually read the book. I mean, sure, I'd seen the Muppets and Kermit reenact this classic story, but I had not read the original source of all those characters. And so that year, I went to Barnes & Noble and bought the book and was surprised. I realized it was such a short book. It's about 90 pages long, but it's just packed full of all that iconic imagery. And so I read it, and there's one section in particular that really stood out to me that I want to share with you. It's an initial conversation between Scrooge, who, you know, the bah humbug man, the man who always finds something wrong with the Christmas holidays, or really any day. Scrooge is having a conversation with his nephew, and his nephew is almost the exact opposite. He's idealistic, he's optimistic, and is looking at the best of Christmas. And it's that conversation that I found really meaningful that I want to share with you. And so, wherever you are watching this, you know, just sit back, relax, and get ready to hear a portion of The Christmas Carol. It begins with Scrooge's nephew. And he says, "A Merry Christmas, Uncle! God save you," cried a cheerful voice. It was the voice of Scrooge's nephew, who came upon him so quickly that this was the first imitation he had of his approach. "Bah!" said Scrooge. "Humbug!" Well, he had so seated himself with rapid walking in the fog and the frost that this nephew of Scrooge's, that he was all in a glow, and his face ruddy and handsome. His eyes sparkled and his breath smoked again. "Christmas? A humbug, Uncle?" said Scrooge's nephew. "Well, you don't mean that, I'm sure." "I do," said Scrooge. "Merry Christmas! What right have you to be merry? What reason have you to be merry? You're poor enough." "Well, come then," returned the nephew. "What right have you to be dismal? What reason have you to be morose? You're rich enough." Well, Scrooge, having no better answer ready on the spur of the moment, simply said, "Bah," and then followed that up with "Humbug." "Oh, don't be cross, Uncle," said the nephew. "A Merry Christmas, Uncle. God save you," cried the cheerful voice. "Well, what else can I be?" returned the uncle. "When I live in such a world of fools as this. Merry Christmas! Out upon Merry Christmas! What's Christmas time but a time of paying bills without money? A time of finding yourself 1 year older and not an hour richer? A time of balancing your books and having every item in them a round dozen of months presented dead against you? If I could work my will," said Scrooge indignantly, "then every idiot who goes about with this Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart. He should." "Uncle," pleaded the nephew. "Nephew," returned the uncle sternly, "keep Christmas in your own way, and let me keep it in mine." "Keep it?" repeated Scrooge's nephew. "But you don't keep it." "Well, leave me alone then," said Scrooge. "Much good it may do you, much good it has ever done you. There are many things from which I may have derived good, by which I have not profited, I dare say, returned the nephew, Christmas among them. But I am sure I have always thought of Christmas time as a time when it has come around, apart from the veneration due its sacred name and origin, but if anything, belonging to it can be apart from that as good as a good time, a kind, forgiving, charitable, pleasant time, the only time I know of in a long calendar year when men and women seem to be of one consent to open their shut-up hearts freely and to think of people below themselves as if they were really fellow passengers to the grave and not simply a race of other creatures bound on other journeys. And therefore, Uncle, though it has never put a scrap of gold or silver in my pocket, I believe that it has done me good and will do me good, and I say, God bless it. Well, that is the reading that I wanted to share with you from Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. And what really stood out to me was what seemed to be the moral of the story that Dickens was trying to share with us. And what he was really sharing is how you experience Christmas has so much to do with what's going on in your heart. I mean, that was so true with Scrooge and his nephew. I mean, Scrooge was so concerned with money and with excess and waste, and that was how he viewed Christmas. It was through the lens of what it was costing him. And his nephew was quite the opposite. He looked at Christmas saying, not what am I gaining from this, or even what I'm spending with this, but how is it changing me? And he particularly has one statement that I found so interesting, where he says, Christmas is one of those times throughout the year where almost universally, humanity can finally open up their hearts freely, right? They've got open hearts towards one another. And they begin to see one another, not as, he says, fellow creatures that are all on separate journeys, but we see each other as united, all as one race of humanity moving in one direction together. I thought that was really true. Christmas time is a time where we see each other not so much as competitors, but we see one another as just fellow human beings. And there's something about Christmas that allows us to open our hearts to one another. And I recognize that for us, I mean, this has been a challenging Christmas. I mean, never in my wildest dreams would I think of Christmas Eve doing a sermon from my living room. But here we are. And you know what? Even amongst the challenges of Christmas, it still has a way of opening our hearts and putting a twinkle in our eye and saying, you know what? It's still good. There's something about Christmas that is still so exciting to me. But I wonder, what is that thing? I mean, if universally Christmas has this aspect, this aura to it that allows us to more open our hearts to one another, what is it exactly that really is the reason or purpose for that? Well, I actually think I know. It's a message. I mean, that's what makes Christmas so meaningful. It is a message. It's a message that has changed the world. I know it's a message that has changed my life, and it's really the message of Christmas that allows this time of year to be unlike any other time of year. I mean, this message was first declared by those angels to the shepherds who were out in the field at night. Let me read for you one more time what they said. They said, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people." Let's break that down just for a second. What kind of news were the angels bringing? Like, what is the message here? Well, it was good news. And this good news, think in your own minds, when's the last time you received really good news? I mean, was it when a doctor called you and you were waiting for the results of something? Or maybe you were waiting to hear of a job offer and finally got that phone call. When have you received really good news? Well, the angel here is giving us really good news, and yet it's better than all of those combined, because it doesn't have to do just with our physical health. It doesn't have to do just with our job prospects. No, this good news is about our very salvation. It's about Christ coming into our world and changing both us and our world. So the angel says, this is good news. But not only is it good news, but it's good news of great joy, the angel says. So think again of that expression of great joy. I mean, joy is the proper response we have when you receive something that you go, oh, that's good news. That's going to change my life for the better. So what about in your life? When are some of the happiest memories that you can think of in your own life? Was it the birth of a child? Was it your wedding day? Was it a graduation? Or maybe the perfect vacation? Right? When have you received great joy? Well, again, in this story, I mean, that great joy that the angel is sharing with his good news encompasses all of those. It's so much greater than any joy we have ever experienced before, because it's about how much our Creator loves us and what God chose to do to show us that love in becoming incarnate, coming in this Christ child, and thus saving us. So it is good news of great joy, and who is it for? Well, the angel says it is for all the people. Yes, there is no one that is left out of this message. There is no one that will not hear this good news of great joy. This is for all people. It is world encompassing. Well, what is this message then? The good news of great joy for all people, this message that changes lives during the Christmas season, what is that message? Well, the angel says that next. The angel says, to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. Yes, the good news of great joy for all people is that 2,000 years ago, a Savior was born in Bethlehem. That's your Savior and mine. Yes, this is the message that has opened hearts and changed lives. I mean, this is the message that allows us to see one another as fellow travelers on the journey of life. This is the message that allows us to be more hopeful and joyful people, even in a year like 2020. So the next time that you're feeling a bit more like Scrooge and feeling like bah humbug towards the season, and that may even be later on tonight or sometime throughout this weekend, the next time you're feeling a bit like Scrooge, remember the message. A Savior has been born. Yes, the next time that you feel overwhelmed, a Savior has been born. The next time you find yourself wondering, what is this whole season really about? A Savior has been born. This is the message of good news, of great joy for all people. This is why we say Merry Christmas. Because a Savior has been born.
If you would like more information about Unity Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at www.unitypres.org. or visit us on Facebook. This is the Unity Presbyterian Church Podcast. Have a great week.